Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. ReadingThePlay.com.
All right, let's go to the earlier semi-final. We've talked a lot about it. We've talked a lot around it. But
well, we should get Tristan's tips here. Tristan, you with England, and where are you on the line?
I'm going to side with you, Jared. I just think the plus looks a little bit wide. So Jimmy's very happy. He's popped up out of his seat there. All that marketing we've sent down with the TopSport logo and the Titans logo with the chest puffed out now. We can see it. So I'll be on your side there, Jared.
You don't know what a relief that is, listeners. Seriously, it's so comforting. All right, you better tell us the prices for the first semi-final. That one's at Ellen Road's famous stadium, and this is Saturday morning, early our time.
Yes, Leeds United home ground. $1.20 Australia, $4.50 New Zealand, 12.5 the line. So the number one team in the world are 12.5 point underdogs against the number fifth ranked Australian side. 42.5 the total points. So Australia, very, very firm favourites. Just on that, looking at the outright betting, just before we get onto that, Australia's $1.38 now to win the event. New Zealand out to $7.50. So it's fascinating how the market shifted, because this semi-final was always expected. We're always expecting New Zealand to take on Australia in the semi-final. They were $4.20 only a few weeks ago in New Zealand. They got into a low of $3.70. And now they're playing the expected matchup we were thinking we were going to see, and they're out to $7.50 to win it all. So I think, obviously, the performance last week against Fiji doesn't have an impact on that. Australia's been pretty impressive as well along the way.
Yeah, I have ummed and ahed about this 12.5 position. I think it's on paper, I think it's probably 2.5 points, maybe 3 points, a little bit too big. But I can't come into New Zealand. I think they've been incredibly disappointing. I'm sure the noise coming out of the camp is that this is the week. This is the game they're focused on. Whereas Hargraves is out for mine personally. I think that's a major out. I know. Some good judges suggest that he's ill-disciplined, and some of his questionable play is probably what not New Zealand want this week. But he's such a big physical body, so experienced at these big games. I would still want him. It's a chips-in game for the Kiwis this week. Jimmy, coming back to that game last week against Fiji, the fact that Kevin Nagama, who was outstanding, and I love him and I love his attitude, but I mean, if there was an over 40s seniors game next week, he'd probably near be eligible. The fact that he's opening up the Kiwis down an edge, and Hiku had some problems on the other edge. I mean, Mitchell and Whiten and Munster and Tedesco are just not going to need an invitation to be trying to play and target those edges. And I think that's where Australia ripped them open. I think that's where their advantage is. I think Australia win. I would suggest that they probably do cover that line. The only other angle would be, I'm not sure that there's 44 points in the game. I think Australia might end up winning by probably 12 or 14, and the Kiwis not necessarily contributing a lot, because the one thing I think Australia have been very strong at through the last recent weeks is their defence and defensive attitude's been very good.
Have you guys felt that the game is a little bit different in the north of England, as in how you get points? I think it's been really fascinating to watch that it's more about passing the ball than running the ball. And, Joey Manu is getting all these raps and deservedly so, because he's running for so many metres. But tell me he's more dangerous than a passing fullback in these conditions. I don't think he is. Like, he's playing really well, and the way he scores his tries is support play and brute strength. But he's not a try-assist guy. Even Tedesco, with his limitations around passing, is a try-assist guy. Latrell Mitchell's a try-assist machine. Josh Adokar's scoring a lot of tries, and a lot of them coming off the back of what Latrell Mitchell is doing. So I just think Australia's superior finishing skills, and let's make the presumption that, and I've been underwhelmed by what these vaunted middle forwards have been doing for New Zealand, and I've been really underwhelmed by Nelson Asifa-Solomona, actually, on an edge. I don't think he's been that great, but I think the skill set that Australia bring to this game is exactly what's required in these conditions, and that's what New Zealand don't have. I think those edges that you talked about, Jared, absolutely, they've been looking at that and working out how to pepper that New Zealand side along that way. And, you know, I think Harry Grant through the middle is going to be more dangerous than Brandon Smith through the middle. I think that's a given as well, too. I think Australia do it comfortably. I think they do it more than the 12.5, but I agree with you. If I saw a 26-4 scoreline, I'd go, yep, that's the type of game I'm anticipating. So I don't know. It sounds like unless Tristan wants to come in on the other side, it sounds like we're all rowing in the same direction.
Oh, I agree. I'm as much as it pains me to say, I agree with everything you've said there, Jimmy. So it certainly does look like I certainly can see that being the scoreline. And the Aussies just look like they've certainly clicked in an area that we probably hope, being Aussie fans, might have occurred. But yeah, they've certainly taken it to that next level.